Time to join our expert on all things Vatican, Joan Lewis. So, Joan, you want to begin today with a story that's too cute to miss.
It really is wonderful. And I love to tell this kind of a story because sometimes, you know, you hear what the Holy Father says in a homily at Mass in a very serious circumstance. But another side of a pope, of any pope, and let's look at Pope Benedict, is this very human side when they are relating in a very, you know, personal way to other people. In this case, we're going to be talking about children because the pope met quite a number of, well, thousands of children from the Pontifical Missionary Childhood, and it was over the weekend. And the children asked questions. And, you know, we should point out that the Holy Father during the year, if our listeners are aware of this, he answers questions from priests when he meets with them from the Diocese of Rome. On his vacation, he very often meets priests, like in northern Italy. They have kind of a gab fest.
They're very interesting moments because everything is unscripted.
Oh, totally.
He speaks out of the cup.
Totally. And so the first time and the last time that the Pope had ever talked with children was in October of 2005. He'd been Pope just a few months. There were like a few thousand kids in Rome who had celebrated their first communion. They were supposed to come to St. Peter's Square. And I remember they came from Rome, they came from Italy, they came from Europe, and they came with their families. And there were like 150,000 people in St. Peter's Square. And the Pope answered like 5, 6, 7, 8 questions at the time. And so this is only his second time of answering questions with kids. And one little girl asked him, I think she was 10 or 12, and she said, when you were a little boy, did you ever grow up thinking, you know, you'd become pope? And he said, well, no, he didn't. And he said, you know, I was just this naive little boy, lived in this very small little town away from big cities and everything else. And we really didn't know that much about the world, just our own small world. But he said, we did know who the pope was, and we revered this man. And he seemed, you know, like from another world. He seemed very high, unattainable, up there and untouchable.
Of course, the Pope at the time was Pius XI, the founder of our radio station, apart
from anything else. And so the Pope said, you know, that obviously one thing he didn't say, but we know happened because I've talked to some of his family members, is that he and his brother Georg, when they were little boys, about the age of these children who are now asking him questions, he and his brother played at being priest. I have a picture, actually, I'm holding it, a little tray with a doily on it that a cousin of his showed me when I was in one of the towns that he lived in as a youth. And it has two pewter, they look like chalices, cups on it. They're probably 3 or so inches high. And she said that Georg and Joseph Ratzinger used to play at being priests. So he did think about being a priest. But the Pope did say, and this was what kind of grabbed the headlines of the papers the next day, you know, he said he still doesn't understand why God chose him to be the Pope. And another question asked that day was, a young girl said, how can we all live in peace without fighting in the name of Jesus? And fighting in a religious sense, can't religions get along? And again, the Pope recalled his time in this very small town of 400 people. And he said, we had when our family moved from a small town to an even smaller town, there were different dialects, there were different customs and cultures. But he said, soon we learned the other dialects, we played with the kids. And by the way, he said, you know, we weren't always saints. He said, we did pranks and things on each other, or we'd get mad. And then, of course, you know, minutes later, we'd forget why we're even mad. So this very wonderful little boy humanness to the Pope and grabbed everybody's attention last weekend.
So that was the meeting he had with the children of the Pontifical Mission Society of Holy Childhood. Now, and they have, they work across the world, of course.
They do. It's a very amazing group. It's part of the Congregation for Evangelizations of Peoples. And they really try and inculcate in children a missionary spirit. And here's how you, Mary Smith in Oklahoma or Birmingham, England, or can, you know, help other children. Here's how you can evangelize.
And they have a lot of programs, too, in developing countries.
Amazing. Amazing work that they do.
So, Joan, then we got to one of the high points of our liturgical year, Pentecost.
Pentecost, the birth of the church in when Jesus is in the upper room with Mary and the disciples, and all of a sudden the tongues of fire descend on them. They are able to speak in many, many languages and do exactly the mandate that Christ had entrusted to them, and that was to go out and evangelize.
So on Sunday, Pope was in St. Peter's Basilica presiding over Mass.
At a very beautiful Mass, which you could see all there, because there were lots and lots of people in St. Peter's Square because of the huge screens that they have out there. And so the Holy Father really dedicated his homily, obviously, to this image of fire and to the image of fire in our life. And what I thought was very interesting, he brought in Prometheus. He said the difference between the Greek hero Prometheus and Christ. And this is so amazing. Prometheus symbolizes modern man. Having taken possession of the energy of the cosmos, the fire, says the Pope, human beings today seem to affirm that they are God and want to change the world, excluding, putting to one side, or even rejecting the creator of the universe. And he said, man no longer wants to be in the image and likeness of God, but of himself. He declares himself autonomous, free, and adult. And I know when I read those words, I just kind of stopped and I thought, you know, good description of modern man and of our problems being our ego and ourself.
There's a lot of music in this Mass as well.
There was an orchestra from Germany. An orchestra and choir from Germany joined, of course, the Sistine Choir. Very, very beautiful music, because I wasn't at that Mass. I had been to a previous one, but I did see
it was
that
Haydn on the agenda.
Part of it. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Very, very beautiful. So as it is, always is, and should be. And the Pope noted that Pentecost was on the 31st of May this past Sunday, and that is normally the Feast of the Visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. And so that's the day normally that there's the procession where you carry candles and say the rosary throughout the Vatican Gardens, but they had held that the preceding evening.
The preceding evening. Yeah. That's quite a beautiful moment. The Vatican Gardens that are usually so quiet.
Oh. It's just very, very memorable. And you know what? I was sick. I didn't make it this year for one of the silliest reasons. I went to Mass at the Center for Home in Santa Susana's Church, and I got on a bus thinking I'm going to come home. And what should have taken probably 20 minutes took an hour and a quarter. As you know, there was the demonstrations over the weekend for the anti-G8 justice ministers, the No Global Group, and buses were rerouted. I got a splendid tour of Rome. Had I been a tourist, I would have had a wonderful time. So I did not get there in time to get back in time for the gardens.
But the gardens.
To our listeners, if you're ever in Rome on May 31st, just find out from somebody there. It usually begins at 8 o'clock.
It's a procession through the garden.
And anybody can go in. You just walk in by yourself
or
friends. It's beautiful. Oh, you end up at the Grotto of Lourdes. And then the Holy Father makes an appearance at the Grotto of Lourdes. So it's a very evocative, very beautiful meeting and a chance for people who don't otherwise get to see the gardens.
Hmm. There was also a special announcement at the weekend, no? When the Pope said he would be going to the Czech Republic.
Oh, that's right. His agenda for coming months was made public, and basically liturgical celebrations for June, August, and September, only one in August. And then he did mention at the end of September he's going 26, 7, and 8 to the Czech Republic. He's going to make two trips within Italy, one this very month, of course, to San Giovanni Rotondo, where Saint Padre Pio lived and worked.
Very popular saint.
And died. Very, very popular, and very much so outside of Italy, which has not only surprised but has always delighted me. So the Pope, he's going to have a quiet schedule, sounds like, for July, because there was not a single mention made of July. So we're guessing, as usual, as he's done and John Paul did, he will probably go to northern Italy for 10, 12, 14 days. And
he's going back to the Val d'Aosta this year.
He is. Okay. And then when he comes back, he usually goes from the mountains to Costa Gandolfo, stays there until usually the end of September. So I'm guessing after the Czech Republic, he will return to Rome and not Casa Gandolfo. So, a pretty good agenda for the rest of this month, liturgical events and everything else.
I think that's enough for today.
That's it for this week, and we'll see you next week when we also have a busy agenda and other Vatican celebrations, Corpus Christi and so forth. It's a wonderful time of the year.
Well, thanks very much, Joan. heartfelt thanks there to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her expertise.